powerful than your God. Nobody. Who has a name greater than Jesus Christ? Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Powerful than the spoken word of God. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. The spoken word of God is so powerful, and demons tremble when it's spoken. Why don't we? Why doesn't the same impact that the name of Jesus does to demons, why doesn't it have the same impact on us? I think maybe to the degree the demons, they had no doubt who Jesus is. But we still have doubt to the degree. Hear what God's saying this morning, church? And He's an awesome God. Awesome God. But He said, where's your fear at today with me? Where did the church complacency come with the name of Jehovah? I think part of the problem comes from the pulpits across America. Just because we have taken the fear of the Lord out of the pulpit and we look at Jesus. And awesome. Jesus is awesome. He's a sacrifice for our sins. Amen. But Jehovah is still Jehovah. God is still God. He's still on the throne. It's God who we worship. It's God who we adore. Jesus is a pathway to Jehovah. Understand that. Wow. To understand who we worship this morning. And praising God that we have Jesus, who's that sacrifice for our sins, who's interceding with us, who's up along the side of the Father today for us. But as the church comes back to Jehovah, may we come back as He was in the beginning with fear and trembling. Many reference the God of all creation. Oh, I just think we got so far away from that. There's no fear in the Lord. Now, when He says, beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, as respect for the Lord, but you know what it would be like to fall in the hands of an angry God? You think about it? Now, Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. Amen? That's it, okay. Now, do we want to be under God's enthronement, or do we want to be His enemy? Grace we have, grace we always have. The grace is what we've been abusing all these times. We have been abusing His grace by saying, under the blood, using it as a card to live a life like the world does. Amen? Church, listen. God loves you. He really does. He's saying, okay, let's just He's been trying to wake us up and look in this mirror thing. Remember, he says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. And we got a lot of cobwebs in that temple he's trying to clean out for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
But we forget. If a demon can tremble at the name of Jesus, how much more reverence should we have for him? How much do our lives need to reflect him and not ourselves? And how do we do that? By more of him, right? By more of him. By more of him in the temple. Anybody here rent a house or apartment or anything? Now, are you in it 7 days a week or you just go there on Sundays? You're not sure? Okay. You're there all the time. Until the light up for me. Thank you. You're there all the time, guys. Again, God just wants to reflect it. I praise God for Jesus. I praise God for His grace that He has. But man, we need to get back to who Jehovah is.
Yes.
You know? And who we are. And what Jesus has done. Otherwise, we can walk around in a fantasy land and not serving the Lord, not even knowing who Jesus truly is. We're not having the understanding what He truly did for you. And that's what God wants us to get either back to or get the knowledge of that. And I've got a few scriptures I want to share with you this morning. And what I'm going to do today, some of you guys write down the scriptures, and sometimes I talk real fast. So I'm going to give you some of my reference scriptures up front. I'm just going to speak them out to you and write them down, those who write them down. And then we'll go forward from there. There you go. Let me bring my... Some of the areas where God will be plowing through the day is the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 16 and 17. Exodus 23, verse 23. And Exodus 23, verse 25. Exodus 32, 1 and 2. Exodus 32, 1 through 13. And Exodus 32, verse 25 to 29. I give those to you up front because I'm taking quite a few of those and combining them and speaking up, so that way you can go back later on if you want a reference to what we're sharing today. But God is a God that never changed. He's still the same today. Now, even though we live in different times, we have different situations, God is still the same. Now, when we look in the 19th chapter of Exodus, verse 5, God is speaking. He's talking to Moses. Where we're at in the life of humanity is the Israelites have been released from Egypt. God brought them out across the Red Sea. He's been hanging out with them, showing them His might and His glory. He fed them manna, come down from heaven. And we're in the area where we're going to get the Ten Commandments. So everybody familiar to the degree where we're at there? But he speaks to his people. He says, now, then if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, and you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So he goes on and shares with Moses the words to speak and the words of encouragement. But he's saying, if you will keep, hear my voice and keep my covenant and follow me, is what he's saying. I possess everything, you shall possess everything. And God wanted to meet with his people. And if you jump down to verse 16, in the same chapter of 19, "So it came about on the third day when it was morning, and there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound." That is God Almighty. "So that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Wow, God showed up as God is. And so powerful, with the smoke, with the thunder, with the lightning, with the trumpet. Can you imagine that right now? Couldn't you imagine right now this place filled up with God's smoke and the thunder, and he spoke, and this place started shaking? Would that put fear in you a little bit, to the degree that you're going to see how powerful your God is? How that, man, who can stand before him? You know what I'm saying? That was, okay, man. Man, you are all powerful. Everything is yours, man. Thank you that I got breath this morning. Thank you. I just took another breath. Amen. Would you not be so thankful, understanding how powerful God truly is? And he decided to make you, me, in his image. And give us control of everything he created here on the earth. Wow. Think of that. Maybe it's just me, but that's just like, wow. It really shocks my socks off, I guess I'd say it that way. But see, the thunder, the strength, the awesomeness of God, we've kind of lost that. Amen? The fear of how powerful he is. We have watered him down to the point of, in fact, we've watered him down so much to the degree that there's no fear. That we can purposely go out and do atrocities against him. Kind of brother Jesus. Amen? I mean, what's up with that? How did we get that way? I truly believe, not looking who Jehovah is, who God is, Yahweh, how awesome and powerful he is. How much he loves and cares for us, but God is God. His word has not changed a bit. He's still the same. Now, we look at Jesus and, well, you know, we're living under grace. Now, there was grace back then. There's always been grace. If there hadn't been grace back then, we wouldn't be here today. Amen? Amen. And just back there, we can see the more need for grace. Because when God spoke, he meant it. That was it. His enemies be annihilated. Didn't want to, but God is God. Now, Jesus, praise God, he came to be that sacrifice. Back in the temples, back in the days in the Old Testament, they had to take animals as sacrifice for the sins. Amen? We don't drag goats around and sheep. We have the blood of Jesus. And it's so easy that we forget what he's doing. I'm telling you, we had to go out there today and grab a bull by the horn and drag it up to the temple. We might think twice before we open our mouth up, before we sin, before we against the word of God. Because, man, that is a lot to do if we don't want an atonement for our sins. And we kind of look at what Jesus did on the cross. I know we see the movie, we see him, some of them is carrying a cross. Next thing you know, we see him up there, and they don't show his body that well. And, oh man, Jesus died for our sins. But man, we look what he truly went through. to be that sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world, okay? God hasn't annihilated the rest of the Bible. Understand that. And when we look at that, we say, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, in the scripture I gave you, you look at it and you're going to see where Moses, now, they've already come out of Egypt, okay? They cried out to God for 400 years. God said, okay, I'm going to deliver you. And he did that. They had this thing called a Red Sea in the road. He's like, I'm going to part this for you. He parted it for them. And then they needed food. He already had manna figured out for us. Fed them. Still grumbled. But God said, I'm going to come down and hang out with my people. I'm just paraphrasing it in the scriptures there. And they were too terrified to go to God themselves. Moses, you go talk to him. So God brought Moses up on the mountain. And they spoke. For 40 days, God spoke to him. And that's where all the instruction came for the temple, for the Ark of the Covenant. All the law, he poured them out to Moses. Wow. Now the people were down at the bottom of the mountain. The people who God had delivered were down at the bottom of this mountain. Yep, down there in lightning. Blah. But in time, they thought, man, what happened to Moses? They haven't seen Moses for a while. He went up, talked to God, and where's God at now? Hey, we want a God that we can see, they said. So they told Aaron. Now, Aaron was in charge when Moses went up. Hey, we want a God that we can see, that we can move with us. But now, go with. And Aaron said, okay, go to your wives, go to your people, and bring all the gold to me. And remember, when they came out of Egypt, they brought all the gold and silver with them. Remember that? All that stuff was gave to them. God gave them that stuff because they would need it as time went on. Now here they are taking the things that God gave them and molding it into an image contrary to God, a false God. Now how could they do that? Stupid? But we've done the same thing. We have done the same thing. We've taken every blessing God's given us here in this country, and we have taken it, and then as we departed from Him, we've taken it and started molding them into our golden image that we worship. And some that we worship in the name of God isn't Jehovah. We have a God of our own mind that we want God this way. Amen? Yeah, we do. Well, we have. Maybe we don't even know we've done it. But we've taken God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we molded him into this, hey, dude, give him a fist bump. Amen? If we really had respect for God, we would tremble. When we got even close to a sin, no, no. Because two things, I don't want to fall in the hands of angry God. But man, God loved me so much, Jesus Christ died for me. He paid that penalty. Now, I don't know anybody in here today that wants to come up here and get nailed to the cross and pay for your own sins. If you do, we got to talk. But do you see what he's done? We kind of miss that a little bit. And we get back to that. Get back to the holiness of God, the righteousness. that He is Jehovah. He is worthy to be praised and worshiped truly in here, out there, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Did He clean that temple out? He wants control of us. And over the years, we are so afraid to offend people. If you're in sin today, get out of it. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You're going to hell if you stay in it. Not very popular preaching, is it? We only preach that after we get the offering, you know what I'm saying? But it's the truth. That's what the Word of God says. Turn our backs on sin. Have no other God before me. Let jealousy depart, let pride depart, let gossip depart. Think of that. When Moses is hanging out with God, and God's giving him all this awesome stuff. Guess what? Wait a second. Them people down there, they're making a golden image. They're making a calf. Now, can you imagine Moses? He's up there talking to God. He's awesome. He's all in His presence. He's glowing, man. He's up there representing the people. And he's talking to God. God said, wait. Them people down there, man, they are going crazy. How would that make you feel? Why? I'll blot them out. Now, could you blame God for not wiping, for wiping everybody out? You couldn't. Come on, man. And what did Moses do? What Moses did was say, God, listen, don't. Come on, you didn't bring him out this far to wipe him out. I mean, would you really want your name to be that, hey, listen, God brought him out of Egypt, out here in the wilderness, just to wipe him out? Now, this is in the scripture I gave you, so you can read all of it tonight when you're in the evening, but and the Word of God says, okay, Moses changed God's mind. Let me go down and speak to him. I mean, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out. Think of that. The people has rebelled against God. Moses is in the presence of God. He has done everything God wanted him to do. He said, man, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out. Because somewhere along the line, Moses was taking responsibility for his people, for the nation. And that's where you and I come in. For our nation today, we need to take that responsibility and intercede for our nation. Amen? Because we can change the hands of God back as we intercede. You see, Abraham did the same thing for Lot. God's going to wipe them all out. He interceded. Finally, at least he got Lot and his family out of there. And God hasn't changed. He'll listen to reason. He listened to His people. It's God's desire that no man will perish. But will some perish? A bunch of them will. So Moses comes back down the mountain. And he sees what's going on. Wow. And I believe what he says to them, Joshua repeats it later on. Okay, that's it, man. Those of you on God's side, come over here. Those who want Jehovah, come on. Now he's talking to all of them. Aaron, his brother, Aaron the priest. He was supposed to be in charge. He made the golden calf. But God was softened by Moses to give the cry out, hey, listen, got an opportunity here, man. Hey, come over here. You want God's side? Come on. He doesn't always say, listen, God's going to forgive you. Come on over here. Come on over here. And people come across. Then what happened? The swords were pulled out, and those were rebellious ones who refused God was put to death. Was put to death. I believe as a nation, we have all been in that rebellious state for quite some time. And God's been crying out, especially this year, hey, come to me, come to me. You know, Chronicles 7:14, we've been crying out for the last several months, you know. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from the wicked ways and pray, I will hear in heaven, I will heal their land. He said, come back to me. See, when we take ownership of the fiascos of our nation, say, God, it's our fault. Forgive us. God forgives us. But we got to remember there's a wrath out there that's a coming. He's Jehovah. He does not change. He's calling out, hey, come on, come to me. And some are running back. Praise God, they're coming back. Amen. But some are staying over here. Why? Because some are being misled. Some don't understand. You know, how many people at the time, when they're being that molten calf, say, well, I'm not sure what to do. I mean, there's Aaron, he's in charge of Noah. Okay. And they got deceived, sucked into this. But thank God for the voice of God coming through Moses. Hey, come on! Those for God, come to me! Give one last cry out. Hey, you've been deceived. This is Moses. At that time, the man of God of above all. And they heard that voice of reasoning. They heard the plea from his voice. And it stirred up something in them. Said, yes! Yes, we want Jehovah. And they came back to him. And then the wrath came. And folks, the same thing. God said, come back to me. Come back to me. I know what you've done. I forgive you. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Come back. But his wrath is coming. And so often we don't hear that. We want people to know that he's a loving, caring God and Jesus died for our sins. And a long-haired, barefoot dude walking around for 3.5 years sharing Jesus, God's love. Amen? And truly, that's love. He sacrificed himself. But we forget what he has intervened for us. We forgot what he has done, truly. Because we can be so self-centered. It's all about me. And folks, it's no longer about me as we come to the cross. It's about serving and loving. You can never love anyone any more than this, and that is sharing the truth. I've had people walk out on me, hate me. I've had people leave my church because I didn't share the truth, and they don't like what the truth is. I'll take it back. They didn't leave my church. They left this church. Okay? Now, I don't know where they're at today. You know, this has been over the years. But like I said Friday night, you know, you are free to live your life however you want to. But I'm not free to preach any gospel I want to. It's the Word of God. And the whole thing behind preaching is to show us God's love, His mercy, but also show His wrath, show the thing that's coming. And I'm the heavens are shaking this morning, and boy, this place would be filled with His thunder, His voice. Every one of us would be flat on our face, on our stomachs, on the floor. Say, God, go away. We are sinful people. We are sinful people. Go away. We would feel that in our spirit. Then He would say, well, listen. Maybe we hear Jesus say, "Hey, Father, they're one of ours. They're one of us." God is always about restoring people who want to be restored. But we walk in our pride and our arrogance, and we look at other people and point fingers all the time. Gossip all the time. I cannot believe how much gossip goes on. Shut our mouths. If you got to cut off your tongue, man, do that. Because when we gossip, the people you gossip with, you'll be the next one in line to be talked about. Amen? And that's where it gets... That's where we be confused. Like, I'm not sure. Folks, if something you're saying isn't wholesome and edifying, even if it's the truth, why repeat it? If it's something that needs to be repeated, take it to the person that you're so concerned about. Otherwise, hey, listen, I don't want to hear it. Amen? Now, all of a sudden, let's qualify out. That's one thing to do that. Another thing to come to your pastor and say, "Hey, man, I got something heavy on my heart. I want to share this with you." That's totally different things. Amen? Well, your pastor's got to have a big mouth and broadcast everything, right? I'm serious. That's a sin. That is a sin. God wants us to be holy in His sight. He wants us to recognize the things that I shared last week too, the little foxes. Remember the little foxes that ruin the vine? It's not the big sin that takes us out. It's some little things that is agitated or we let happen. It's some little things that we think, well, again, we start comparing ourselves to everybody else. You know, at least I'm not as bad as Bruce Lesher. Woo! Bruce says, "Yeah, but man, Greg Donnelly's sitting in the back. I ain't bad as him." You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we work out our salvation daily. Amen. That means it's a daily process. We should never, ever be satisfied where we're at. Thankfully, we're not where we used to be. But more of Him and less of us is what He wants. But to recognize how powerful, how awesome God is. And to think, number one, that He shared that with us. He wanted it for us. He prepared everything for us before He even created mankind. And then when we went rebellious and drifted and went away from Him, it didn't stop His love. He came back to us through His Son Jesus. I'm going to repair this breach we have. The sin breach. I'm going to pay the penalty for it. Now what you and I are called to do then, turn away from your sin. Repent. Turn away. Receive the Master. And follow Him. And again, calling the church back to Him. Many have entered church at a time where the church was already asleep. Some are here, you've been saints for decades and decades, and your heart has been broken over the years, seeing what has happened to the oneness of God. But praise God, is coming back around. Amen? Coming back around. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear Him or not? Anybody ever get paddled as a child? Did ever being paddled cause you not to do it the next time? Anybody ever get paddled and didn't want to do it again? Okay. Anybody still want to do it but didn't do it because of paddling? Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody ever get corrected, paddled, and never want to do it again because you broke your parents' heart? Amen. So it works both ways. Understand? It works both ways. But the wrath is to wake us up, okay, out of love. Because God Himself says it's better for a child to feel the rod of discipline and then the fires of the pain of the fires of hell. I know that's not great child rearing instructions anymore. What he's saying is discipline. He's not telling you to go out there and grab a tube before and beat your kids over the head with it, okay? Well, at least not too hard. No. But he's saying discipline. Your child needs to be disciplined in order to grow up to be great adults, right? So, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? So, don't you think you need discipline also? To grow up to be a child of God? Amen? Yeah. He does it out of love. Didn't you raise your children and you discipline them because you knew what the world was really like? And that they're with you right now, but someday they're going to step outside that door, and you want them to be prepared as much as they could in order to survive and be all that they can be. And God's the same way with us. You know, we come to Jesus, man, we're getting that giddy, oh man, born again, all that, which is awesome. In fact, I've never lost that part of it. But God starts pouring into us because, okay, Starkey, someday you're going to step out in the real world of discipleship, and you need to be prepared for this. If we just stay back here in the giddy part, oh, we get wiped out because, man, we don't understand. We don't understand how cruel the world can be. We don't understand how cruel others in churches can be. Amen? But see, we're all continuing to fight something. We're always trying to resist something. Why? Because we don't want to go back where we came from. We don't want to be a tool in the hand of Satan. So we look at the Word of God, we allow that to mold us, shape us, and to discipline us. And whatever, if you pour your heart out to God and say, man, I still got this in my life. I want to give it to you. How can I do it? Let God lead you. Truly. Sometimes it's walking away. Sometimes it's... It never hurts more and more the Word of God. To read it, to meditate, to study it. Give it number one priority in our lives. I gave a challenge a couple of weeks ago, but for a whole week go without any media, Facebook, TV, and everything. And I know I had one couple that did that. And wow, it was really amazing. You know, they felt a lot better because they don't have all that stuff coming in. And one thing they said, well, one thing we can't do, because the challenge from the movie was 1 week with no TV and all that stuff, then the next week, don't pray, don't read your Bible. And I said, I don't recommend that, because I couldn't do that. Of course, they couldn't either. But just to show yourself what has a control in your life, and wanting to surrender it all to God. I know people who don't have TV sets. Imagine that. I had a cousin never owned a TV. He's passed away, but he thought conversation was more important than the TV set. The only time he would buy a TV, he lived in Massachusetts. He's a lawyer and an author, I guess. He'd only buy a TV once a year when his mom and dad would go visit, because dad wanted a TV. And after they left, they get rid of the TV. Man, if our hearts turn that way to God, I'm not saying get rid of your TV, but if you are, I'd love to have a big screen one, okay? Call me. But if we get that point there, man, God, my conversation with you is more than, you know, 18 hours of TV a day. Wow, what awesomeness. God, you know, as I share with you God's Word on Sunday, I know you're going to step out there tomorrow is Monday. And all things, a lot of things will be coming against you. And that's why I act out a lot of stuff. This maybe you might remember something, my acting, to help you remember God's Word, to help you defeat what's coming against you, okay? But could you imagine No, you probably couldn't. But tomorrow, you ready to walk outside to go where you're doing? There I am. Where are we going to go today, Aaron? I sit in the car with you, and I preach my whole sermon on where we go. Boom, boom. And then Tuesday, there I am, Aaron. Wednesday. Chances are, you'd be more focused on God that week. And probably by Thursday, ready to throw me out of the car. Okay? Or, wow, man. Because, you know, when you hear the sermon over again, you hear more, don't you? More come out to you. Wow. It's like me and the missus. We can talk back and forth. I hear her, but I don't hear her. And she repeats it the second time, I hear a little bit better, okay? And the third time, finally I get understanding of it, okay? Which is good. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way, hearing that. Hearing that. And so, as we get nestled more and more into the Word of God, what a change in our life. And that, I'm trying to think of the name. The name of a fear that you respect. Help me out. Yes, reverence. Thank you. You have a reverence fear for God. Man, that's where God wants to come back to. You know? He don't want you to be scared of Him. But the fear, and that God is God. But after those who refused to come back to God was removed, God still continued on with His covenant He had with His people. Amen? Amen. And folks, today as we live and breathe in this time of our life, God is still the same. Now, this isn't calling out, okay, America, come back to Me. Come back to Me. And boy, I tell you, we got a lot of people right now making some golden calves, aren't we? Church people. Okay? Because remember, He was talking to His people. God did not send a pigeon carrier back to Egypt and say, listen. Moses didn't say, listen, guys. No, He was dealing with His people. The ones who cried out to Him. One that He answered. Amen? And so that's what He's crying out to us and to the churches today. Hey, come back to Me. You know, look, I'm Jehovah. And some are still out here molding a golden image of a God that they want to worship, which is not a God of the Bible. It's a false God. Bendy seed? You know, it only takes Satan. The old saying is, take Satan an inch, become a ruler. Compromise. Our God is not a God of compromise. Okay? He says it, that's it. When He talks about His word is this, this. Now we can reason with them. And when we reason with God, that reasoning helps change our mind. Amen? But He's still the same. When Moses said, listen, for God, come back here. I don't know what the time frame is. I can imagine if I'm out here in the crowd, you know, I just get ready to give my wife's golden earrings to Aaron, you know. And he says, come back. So I come back over here to Moses, which is coming back to God. I say, oh man. Did I stand there and be quiet? I say, hey, Chuck, come on, man, come back. Man, we got fooled again. We got fooled. We should come on back. Were I over here pleading to other people? Say, listen, yes, we were wrong. Or did I just come back and keep my mouth shut saying, okay, phew, I'm glad on this side. I would imagine once my eyes become open, man, I've been deceived. Yes, God, forgive me. I'd be crying, hey, guys, let's come back to God. Come on. Come on. He's going to forgive us. He's going to forgive us. And some would come running back. But some would be like Brother Dave back in the back row. Like, I'm not going to move. Some of them might be inside of them. Just picking on you, Dave. You got your arm across. I don't care. Thank you. Some might be sitting there saying, yeah, I know Moses is right. But then if I cross that line, you're back over to God, I got to admit I'm wrong. How many people died that day because of pride? We'll humble ourselves before God and seek Him. Loving, caring God, but a God that when He speaks, very, very powerful. I don't know where you've been, if you've been in the crowd lately with the golden calf. And you recognize that and you don't know what to do. You've compromised, you've done things that God's Word said not to do. And you've done it. And when you did it, you know you shouldn't have. Now you've got guilt. You have guilt or conviction. That is good. But don't let your pride stand in the way of humbling yourself before God. Confessing your sin to Him and coming back to Him. How foolish it would be to know the truth, totally know the truth, knowing that you're in violation of that truth, knowing that God offers forgiveness, knowing that Jesus Christ already paid the penalty for you, and not to call out to Him. You say, yeah, but you're saying, but I did that last night. But I did it anyway. Okay, this is a new day. His mercies are new every day. You cry out to Him again. You seek His face. Say, God, what happened last night? How did I get so vulnerable? How did I do what I didn't want to do? He will show you. He will strengthen you. But you have to take the step. If we truly want to please Him, He will show us. But He doesn't do it for us. We have to take that step and turn towards Him. It's not just repenting from your sins. There's two steps to it. Repent from your sin and move towards God. But if me and my missus got into it, I look at her and say, oh, Carol, I understand what I did. I understand now. And that was it. You think, okay, well, if he truly understands what he did, where's his repentance at? I never said I was sorry. I said, I understand what I did now. I'm not saying that I regret what I did. Most of the time, we're just sad that we got caught. Amen? Most of us, we can be sad that we got caught. Whatever, you ever get caught doing something and, oh, man, I am so sorry. Okay, but you're not sorry what you did, just sorry you got caught. Okay? Now, we can do the same thing with the Lord. You know? We step outside of His Word, man, and we do something, and someone calls you on it. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Yeah. But are you sorry that you did it, or are you sorry that you got caught? It's repentance. Turn from that. Turn from that. And when we have a brother or sister who has fallen, we have them back up, and they turn back to the Lord, embrace, rejoice. Amen? And we all mean well, but what really gets me at times, somebody come back through that door, haven't been here for 3 or 4 months, they say, where you been? We mean well, don't we? But it should be, hey, good to see you today. Because we don't really need to know where they've been, right? We're just glad that they're here. And we're coming back in again. Yeah, hey, glad to see you. Yes, awesome. And be rejoicing over that. Because the hardest part to turn back at times is the ridicule you get from people. You know, we say things at times, I knew it wouldn't last. I knew they were playing. I mean, how do you know somebody's true heart? But he wants us to always continue one another. Come on, come back to God. Let me help you. Let me help you. Might have been a few out there, maybe they got drugged back. Drugged across the line. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Well, come on, come get over here. You know? Well, I'm not sure. I don't think we was that wrong building that calf. I mean, didn't God give us the gold to do that with? Isn't God who kept Moses away from us? How did we know that Moses wasn't consumed up there? See, they forgot who their God was. They forgot what their God did for them. They got their eyes back on themselves. And folks, how quickly we can turn back to old ways when we turn away from fellowship with the Lord, from the Scriptures. I truly believe fellowship like this together is very important encouragement. And it's very, I mean, it's just, I've said it before, you don't know how much you guys encourage me when I look out there and see you looking back at me. It does. It encouraged me as well as you can encourage one another, do you not? Very tough a few months ago when I was preaching to nobody. You know, we had little pictures up here once in a while. But just the iron sharpen iron, you know? Amen. But as Moses did all this, and he would go home to the Father, Joshua took over. And I'll end with this one. Listening to Moses. Oh. That's what happens when you got several Bibles that you use. Which is awesome. Blessing. But then Joshua later on will quote Moses. Well, he's quoting God, but Joshua 24, verse 15. 14 and 15. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. 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 We shall serve the Lord. What a declaration to make. And God will never, the Holy Spirit will never stop calling us back to Him. We could get to the point we no longer hear Him because our ears are on other things. I don't ever want to go deaf to the Holy Spirit. And the way I keep that open is keeping my mind set on the Lord, keeping the Scriptures in my heart, and knowing His voice. There's a deceiver out there, his name is Satan. And there's a spirit of deception upon the United States. And a lying spirit has went out and deceiving lots of folks. If it does not line up with Scripture, do not embrace it. Do not embrace it. Amen? We've only got a few more days and we'll be voting here in the United States. And I truly believe it is an act of a Christian to vote. I truly believe that. And we have the possibility to do that. We need to do it. We say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're His hands, His feet. Amen. We say that God puts all those in authority, whether good or evil. We listen to His people. He gives us what we want. We cried out that we want a king just like the rest of the world had, because we had judges back then. He gave us Saul, and look how well that turned out. Not the Apostle Paul, this is Saul, okay? But we have it in our midst, the ability to select our leaders. And right now, in the northern part of Nigeria, they are being annihilated. They are genocide for being Christians. And they are crying out to us, and to God, to our president, knowing that he is a man that people fear, and seeing the movement of his heart, and he's in talks right now. But folks, you see how awesome it is to be a Christian nation and have God's hand upon us. We can't take that for granted. I've got some handouts for whoever might want one. Some of you already got them, I know. Anybody here hasn't voted yet? Okay. Now this here is it's called the Party Platform in Comparison. This is bipartisan. It has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. This is the issues. This here is the platform of the Democratic Party and Republican Party. And this here, how many questions do they have? I think it's 15 questions that's related to taxpayer-funded abortion, how do you stand Roe versus Wade, religious freedom courts. And this shows you how the candidacy for the presidency, how they stand. Okay? This is what they return. So it's not pushing a Democrat or a Republican. If you want one of these, you're welcome to have one. Okay? You want to pass them up to those who need them? Now also we have this here, the voter guide for Ohio. I'm sorry. I got them stapled together, hon. Yep, got them stapled together. But this here explains to you about for the Supreme Court justices. Where do they stand on certain issues? We need to be a learned voter. And I do believe we need to vote the way God says to vote. Amen? Vote the Bible. I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm here to present this to you if you want to decide how to vote. I will tell you, it's never been more clear in history of the two opposing sides. Do not vote according to your eyeballs. Vote according to the Spirit of God. To me, I believe life is very viable. I believe marriage, as God has defined it, is very important as a Christian. I believe, everybody got one? So many issues I believe in. And that's how I vote. I'll gladly share with you if you got any questions about anything. I have no problem with that. But I know in my heart the number one thing I want to see take place, the appointment of Supreme Court justices that will reverse Roe versus Wade. Now understand this, guys. That will not eliminate abortion. Okay? But number one, it's going to take it down, I believe, back where it belongs. To me, it has to be a tremendous decision. As a family, you have to choose whether the baby's born or the wife is born or lives. That I hope I never have to make that decision. But that's between God and them and the doctor. But folks, we have to get out of, my opinion as a born-again Christian, the puppy mill effect we have for abortion and Planned Parenthood, where abortion is used as a contraceptive. I believe that in the eyes of God, that is terrible. The scripture we read where they used to do that. God's people took and sacrificed their living children to a god of Moloch to have prosperity or a better harvest, to have peace. And folks, that's the same way we do with abortions. We do because of monetary issues or it messes up our life. I'm not ready for it. All that stuff needs to be thought. But anyway, that's just where my heart is. And God says that I will bless those who bless Israel. And the president we have right now stands for Israel. Our nation is blessed today because of that. Your ministry here is blessed today because we support Israel, the Jewish voice. Amen? If the tide turns, and we turn our back on Israel, may it never be. May it never be. But anyway, this is so important, the upcoming election that we vote. Anybody need a book on the judges? Like who to vote for the Supreme Court? Yeah, okay. Ohio Supreme Court. Anyone? Okay. Anyone? Yeah, you go. And truly take time to read it and study it. I truly believe that God requires that of us, since we have the ability to do that. Now, if you don't, if you're, you got one, anybody? And if you don't have the ability to vote, I understand that. Anybody else need one? No, okay. I mean, I hear people saying, well, I can't vote for this person because look at their past, you know. Some people look at our current president and say, man, look at, I mean, I understand what they're saying. And we were listening shortly to his speech last night, and the profanity was coming out of his mouth this night. He's so upset. But I can't overlook what God is using this current president for. And I shared this, and I, you know, I got born again January 2nd, 2000 at 6:35 p.m. But prior to that, I was not saved. In the eyes of God, I was a fornicator, adulteress, terrible. But folks, during my lifetime, I don't know how many doors I've kicked in and brought out babies out of burning houses. I don't know how many cars I've intertwined that was on fire and I brought people out of it, okay? I don't know how many people I've cut down and saved their lives. And not one of them. So don't! You fornicator! You liar! They didn't. God used me at that moment in life to sustain life. I praise God for the blood of Jesus. I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. Praise God. But even in my sinful state of my life, God was still able to use me to answer prayers of other people. And I truly believe that's how I look at my president today, that God is using him, listening to the cries of his people when we say we want prayer back in school, we want reverse Roe versus Wade, we want God back on the throne. I truly believe he is using him. I bypass his mannerisms and look what he's doing in the hands of our almighty God. Amen. Questions today, guys? Anything not clear? Okay. All right. As I close out the service, I cooked today. You know what that means, right? No. We had eggs donated. We got egg salad sandwiches today. And chips and carrots today. But God is a mighty God, a loving God, a caring God. And before we close today, if you found yourself, you've been in the crowd with a golden calf, where you're at, just cry out to the Lord. Just tell him, God, forgive me. I recognize it. And just turn your life back to him. He's willing, waiting right there for you. His plan and purpose has never changed yet. Never changed. Remember, we were called to be the light of the world. Salt of the earth. Amen.